So hi everyone, so I'll talk about Graviton. So our work is motivated by two trends in cloud computing. First, accelerators are becoming a vital component in the cloud as they can provide an increased performance over commodity CPUs. Meanwhile, privacy is becoming a first-class citizen in clouds, mainly because customers wish to manipulate privacy-sensitive data such as medical history of patients and financial transactions. Now, given the rise of data breaches, these customers are reluctant in bringing their services into the cloud, leading to a realization that we need strong security mechanisms for preserving data privacy in public clouds. Actually, CPU vendors have understood this realization, and over the years, they have proposed trust execution environments that provide isolated execution from privileged attackers. They also provide remote attestation that allows remote clients to establish trust with the trusted CPU. Examples include ARM's TrustZone and Intel SGX. In fact, Intel SGX is being deployed by major cloud providers such as Microsoft Azure in the context of Azure Confidential Computing. Unfortunately, these trust execution environments are restricted to CPUs, which means that applications that wish to use accelerators such as GPUs, they cannot really do that securely, which means that we have a trade-off between performance and security. So in response, we propose Graviton, which is an architecture for supporting trust execution environments on GPUs. So our goal is to provide execution that is isolated from the system software and other code tenants that might be sharing the same GPU. We also provide remote attestation so that the trusted CPU can establish trust with a trusted GPU. So our contributions is the Graviton architecture, which is a minimal set of hardware extensions as well as extensions to the CUDA runtime for providing end-to-end security guarantees to higher level applications. We built Graviton on top of on-the-shelf NVIDIA GPUs with emulation for new hardware features, demonstrating the practicality of the proposed design. Okay, so in the rest of this talk, I will introduce first GPUs and the assumed threat model. Then I'll describe briefly the Graviton and the brief overview of evaluation, and then I'll conclude. Okay, so in this slide, on the left side, I plot, I illustrate the conventional system stack for that used by today's GPUs. And on the right side, I show the floor plan of a commodity GPU. Now imagine that an application wants to offload computation to the GPU. What it requires doing first is to use DMA engines to transfer code and data to the GPU, and then subsequently it can dispatch launch operations to trigger execution on compute engines. Now, of course, this raises a question: how is the runtime able to configure execution on these engines? So it does that by utilizing a group of commands to translate a higher-level API call, and then submit this command, this group of commands, to some command queues that are fetched by the command processor. They are decoded and then forwarded to the corresponding engines. Okay, so what is the execution model here? So similar to CPUs, which use CPU processes, GPUs use context. And in GPUs, contexts are supported by channels. Channels have two unique responsibilities here. They first implement the virtual memory abstraction, which is a hierarchy of page tables. All the GPU engines access memory resources through virtual memory. That's why we need the device driver to set up these page tables. Second of all, these channels expose the command queues to the runtime so they can submit commands to trigger execution on the GPU engines. So let's walk through a CAT classifier example to understand the interaction between the runtime and the GPU and the role of the device driver in the process. Okay, so first thing we need to do is to allocate some device memory to transfer our data that we want to classify. So we do that by issuing a CUDA malloc, and then the runtime uses a bunch of syscalls to ask the device driver to allocate memory on behalf of the application. So the device driver subsequently decides which virtual pages and which physical pages will be allocated and uses MMIO to update these page tables which reside in the device memory. Subsequently, the application can issue a memcopy operation which transparently moves the data into a DMA buffer, then configures the engines by the DMA engines by submitting a command group that consists of the source and the destination address of the data, as well as the size of the data that need to be transferred. Finally, I can issue a launch that will execute the classifier job, and it passes again a command group which defines, which denotes the virtual address of the function that will be executed, as well as all the parameters that need to be passed for that function. So as you can see here, the device driver has a huge role in configuring the device as well as managing the resources of the GPU, which means we have a large attack surface if we assume that the OS can be compromised, right? So here in the next few slides, I will show a small set of attacks to demonstrate this increased attack surface. So a compromised OS could go and directly tamper with commands in command buffers, and then basically mess up with the integrity of the computation. Also, it could go and tamper with data in DMA buffers or directly in data that reside in device memory. Even if we are able to prevent a device driver or a compromised OS to do these kind of attacks, what the device driver could go and do is to take all the physical pages from the victim context and map them to the address space of another context, and subsequently use the command group submission to trigger execution on this context and get access to the data indirectly. Now, given that the system software may be compromised and can control and get access to our data, our trusted computing base is mainly focused on hardware. So in particular, we trust the GPU package, including on-package memory. So unlike host memory, which is accessed by the CPU over the external buses, emerging GPUs integrate tightly the high bandwidth memory with the GPU to provide high bandwidth access to the GPU cores, which means that an attacker is really hard for an attacker with physical access to the GPU to observe communication between the silicon interposer, which provides the connectivity between memory and GPU, without breaking the functionality of the GPU. We also trust the CPU package, including the implementation of the trust execution environment, as well as the GPU runtime that is hosted in the CPU trust execution environment. Finally, our goal is to provide confidentiality and integrity of computation and data. And I would like to note that in this work, we assume that side channels and package assembly attacks are out of scope. And we leave this in for future work. Okay, so in the rest of this talk, I will introduce Graviton. Okay, so the key idea here is that we redefine the interface between hardware and software by moving security critical functionality to the GPU's command processor and then adding verification checks in the runtime, which is trusted, to ensure to verify the actions of a compromised device driver. We do that by adding hardware support in the GPU to do remote attestation so we can establish trust between a trusted CPU and a trusted GPU. We also provide hardware support for context isolation as well as secure command submission. Finally, we build runtime abstractions that allows us to hide the entire complexity of the proposed design behind the programming model of the GPU. In particular, we provide ways of allocating securely memory, which is isolated from the rest of the system, as well as secure versions of memory copy and task launch. So in the rest of this talk, I will focus on the context isolation and how we can utilize the hardware primitives to design a secure memory copy. Okay, so let's talk about first about the context isolation. So we provide that by relying on three key primitives. First, we introduce the notion of protected memory, which is a region of device memory that will be used to host users' code and data, as well as structures that are utilized for implementing the virtual memory abstraction. We restrict accesses to this protected memory by changing the PCI controller to block MMIO accesses to this memory region. And this is a very simple extension to the hardware, as you just need to do a range check on every single MMIO access. The second key primitive we need is virtual memory management through this command processor. And we need that for two reasons. First, we need that for functionality, because now the device driver no longer has access to address space management structures, which means there is no way they can update the page tables. So we provide new commands in the command processor that allow the device driver to update this over the new interface. I would like to mention here that the device driver still decides which virtual and physical pages will be allocated, and it just sends the mappings over a group of commands. This way, we allow the command processor to ensure the use of protected memory for allocations, as well as exclusive use of the memory resources of a context to prevent a compromised device driver to map the physical pages of one context to another. Finally, we provide secure command submission, which basically is there. We use it to authenticate command groups that are submitted to channels to ensure that basically only the user runtime in possession of the session key used for authenticating command groups can actually submit tasks and access the address space of the context. Okay, now let's look at how we can design a secure version of memory copy. So here our goal is to provide integrity and confidentiality of data in transit between trusted execution environments on the CPU and on the GPU side. Now, let's assume that we have a way to allocate protected memory for a request coming from the runtime. And I will encourage you to go and read our paper to understand how we do that. Then what we just need to do is we rely on the secure command submission to issue a copy task, which basically provides integrity of the source and destination addresses and the size of the request transfer, and then rely on software level encryption and decryption to decrypt the data in place inside the protected memory, and then compare the authentication tags that have been calculated by the trusted GPU runtime and the kernels that do the authenticated decryption to ensure the integrity of the data. Okay, to summarize, we propose Graviton, which is a set of hardware extensions that are restricted to peripheral components of the GPU to provide remote attestation, context isolation, and secure command submission. I would like to denote here that unlike CPU trust execution environments, we don't need any changes to the GPU cores and memory system, making this design less intrusive than what we have out there for CPU counterparts. Finally, we build GPU runtime abstractions that allows us to hide the entire complexity of the proposed design behind the GPU programming model, so we can design high-performance, highly secure applications with minimal programming and development effort. Okay, we implemented Graviton on top of NVIDIA GPUs, and we use open source CUDA runtime and an open source device driver to implement all the proposed design. And in the absence of hardware support for the new commands and the crypto in the command processor, we emulate those inside the device driver. For benchmarking, we use CAFE framework to train a convolutional neural network using a CIFAR-10 dataset, and also an autoencoder on top of MNIST dataset. Autoencoders are used for unsupervised learning. Okay, so let me now go through the brief evaluation. So here on the y-axis, I plot end-to-end runtime normalized to an insecure stack that doesn't provide any end-to-end security guarantees. I break down the overheads into two components. One is for isolation, which includes all the overheads for using the new command-based interface to provide the context isolation, as well as the overhead to encrypt commands in the runtime and decrypt commands in the command processor. Finally, we have a component for secure copy, which incurs the overhead of software-level authenticated encryption on the GPU side and on the CPU side. So as our results show, the overheads are quite low, ranging from 17 to 33%. And one point to make here is that the more complex computation you want to do, the lower overheads you're going to get, right? And this is because for the same amount of data I want to transfer and the same overhead that I'm paying for the secure copy, I have a larger computation task which spends more time, which means I can amortize the cost of the secure copy over a larger amount of time. Okay, to conclude, our work is motivated by two trends in collision. Basically, one is confidential computing to provide privacy in the cloud, and the second is hardware accelerators. Now, unfortunately, there's no support for trust execution on accelerators, which creates a trade-off between performance and security. So we propose Graviton, which is a step towards a trust execution environment on GPUs with low hardware complexity and low performance overheads. And we design a GPU runtime that hides the entire hardware complexity behind the programming model. At this point, I would like to thank you for your attention. I will be happy to take questions.
And let me remind you, please state your name and affiliation.
Hi, Mark Silverson, Technion, and great work. I have a question about crash policy. What happens when GPU crashes and basically you can leak data that is already there?
That's a good question. So we have a command that is used for destroying a channel. So when the device driver realizes that a GPU process has crashed, it can send a channel, a command to the command processor, which then goes and walks the page directory and the page tables to basically scrap the contents of the memory pages and freeze these memory pages so they can be allocated in the future. So this way we can make sure that we don't leak any information.
But the driver is untrusted.
It's untrusted. So the only way you, okay, so that's why we, so you allow the device driver to perform this command. So that's why we require the command processor to go and scrap the contents of the memory pages. So at any point of time, of course, the device driver can go and issue this command, which potentially can lead to a denial of service attack. And denial of service attacks are out of scope of this work.
Okay, thanks. Jonathan Lee, also from Microsoft Research. So I noticed that for SGX, the trust model around the page tables is that the OS is managing those, and therefore they're untrusted. And there's a lot of work that then goes into making sure that if you somehow corrupt the page tables and try and access a SGX-protected page anyway, that you'll get certain kinds of, like, you won't get to see the data. And it seems like in the architecture you're proposing, the command processor or something like it is responsible for managing the page tables and thus has to be completely trusted on this. So I'm curious whether you've thought about whether on something else on the same GPU I might be able to get an out-of-bound write or something like this, corrupt a page table and then read information out of your enclaves.
Okay. So we, as you pointed out, we put trust on the command processor and the implementation of the new commands for managing the page tables. So to the best of my knowledge, all GPU engines use virtual memory to access device memory, right? Which means that because we require also the allocation of all page tables in protected memory, right? We guarantee that those page tables cannot be mapped to any other channel so that nobody else in the GPU can go and get access to those.
Yeah, thanks.
And on the subject of things you trust the memory on the GPU because it's difficult to probe.
Right.
Is it possible, in my naivete, is it possible that some of the memory is closer to the surface and some is more deep and thus easier to probe? And can you deal with this heterogeneity of trust?
Let me go back to the picture of the threat model here. Okay, that's a good point. So The way you bond memory dies and also the memory die with the silicon interposer is the same process. So I will expect that if someone can compromise one of the integration on one of the layers, then they could compromise all of them. So there's nothing unique about the way you bond the memory dies and then the memory dies with the silicon interposer.
All right, thanks.